Hello, everybody. This is the Mac Show. Yes, we're back. Another week has passed. I don't know where the week went, but, well, we're here. There's another set of things to talk about in the news. So it's like, yeah, it's insane right now. And with me, oh, by the way, I'm the interim host, Patrice, sitting in for Jeff Gamet, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, as Jeff likes to say. Jeff has some family stuff, and I don't know what Ewan is doing. Probably it's working somewhere. Anyway, I have a really cool panel with me today, as always, and we have a special guest with us, because we have Marty with us. How are you doing?
I'm good. I spent the morning in academic meetings, and my Apple Watch, the oxygen sensor went off because everybody else was sucking the oxygen out of the room. So I'm glad to be here.
So that can now mean one of two things. Either the meeting was so boring that everybody fell asleep, or it was so important and so like you needed so much oxygen that like it just literally disappeared.
It was 12 people and 3 people doing all the talking. So
a normal meeting, basically.
Yeah.
I've literally been in a meeting with, like, I don't know, 20 people, and two were talking, basically. I'm like, yeah. Wow, efficiency.
Yay. We call that bad family therapy, basically, because the whole family should be talking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Good. And with us as well, we have our... what did we call you? The Mac Daddy?
Chuck? I don't remember that. No, I don't remember that. Thank you.
You know, that's a slang term that means a lot of things.
Yeah, I know. I'm deeply concerned about how it could be interpreted. Yes.
Yeah. Chuck will show up in a zoot suit, probably.
Ooh. Okay.
Don't you hope. But I think it's great. Marty's here, and we all right out of the gate, we have a show title. Oxygen sucking. I think that's great.
Oh, I should write that down. I will forget otherwise.
Yeah. Marty, you're becoming a regular here. This is great.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, I enjoy, you know, each one of these things is a little different. And my experience last week on this was just so nice and much more kind of end of the week conversational. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want at the end of the week. And so, you know, I enjoy it. I'll be here when I can. And open up my schedule.
Yeah. You're always welcome anytime you want.
Thanks.
To join. That's always a fun group. Like we always, it's just meeting up, relaxing, talking about stuff we like to talk about and making fun sometimes of people and of stuff. And speaking of making fun, I don't know, we should make fun of Siri, right? So, I don't know, it kind of deserves it. So the good news is, hopefully at least good news, there's been some shakeup this week. I think at this point also confirmed, as far as I know, that Mike Rockwell has been put in charge of the Siri team and will report to Mr. Ferenghi, Greg Federighi. Definitely a change. Who was in charge? John Giandrea, I think is his last name. Giandrea, something like that. He was the head of, was before at least the head of AI or the head of product development, I think. And yeah, he's been removed from this job to, I don't know, do something else. Good news for Siri, might be bad news for Vision Pro because Mike Rockwell was actually developing the Vision Pro.
Yeah, the guy who replaced him in Vision Pro, I was listening to Mac OS Ken this morning, and so I want to attribute this to them. The guy that replaced him in is really the primary engineer for developing it in the device. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to be a great loss to the Vision Pro because they're going to continue. You know, there's a lot of things they want to do with it in terms of making different kinds of models, potentially. Mm-hmm. But they have a very skilled engineer who has a track record of taking things from 0 to 1. So it's not like let's take it from 0 and then move them someplace else. he completes projects. So
he does.
It's I'm optimistic about at least Vision Pro. I'm not worried about. I'm also optimistic about Siri.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you're right. That's usually how Apple does it. I think a lot of companies do that, where it's like if someone moves to another project, someone within the project takes over. The question will be, I mean, how much influence did he have on Vision Pro? Like, it's always possible. I mean, it depends. Like, you know, sometimes you have managers that are mostly, like, hands-off and let their people work, and that's fine. And if they go somewhere else, okay, it's going to continue for a while that way. Sometimes they're very hands-on, and so if they have to do something else, it might be felt. It will, I mean, the Vision Pro will continue no matter what. So the people are still there.
Yeah, and so they're working for the same company. It's not like a marriage broke up.
Yeah, so that's true.
Able to talk to each other.
Of course, yeah. I mean, if they need his, if they need Mike Rockwell's opinion on something, they will for sure ask him still. I don't think that's a problem. Yeah, but it still, it does change things if you're not working day to day in the same organization. Yeah, it's going to be fine. I mean, on the other hand, the Vision Pro is probably pretty set what's going to happen next. So him switching away is probably also not a big deal. Yeah. On the other hand, Siri really needs it. So, I mean, we've...
Well, another thing that was reported this morning, or that I heard, was that someone has also initiated a class action lawsuit against Apple because Siri didn't deliver the way they were supposed to deliver.
Yes. God, yeah, absolutely. Of course. I mean,
and I'll let Chuck talk about that.
Yes, Chuck, soapbox. That's your
thing. No, you know, it really is. You get to the point that you're not going to be able to talk about anything. And Apple tries not to talk about things, you know, and yet here, and with no disrespect intended to Mark Gurman or to John Gruber for that matter. But, you know, we're constantly, this feels like I'm reading gossip about a celebrity couple, you know, as to they were holding hands, you know, they were seen having a late night drink, you know, oh, somebody was seen leaving somebody's room in the morning. It's like, for heaven's sake, let's just wait until they're ready to tell us, and then we will know, and we won't be spinning our wheels like this. That said, there are certain things that I also understand in the business world you have to disclose. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, these Apple didn't promise any of this. It projected, but it never said that on June 6th of 2025 you are going to have this. You know, it's coming, and it'll be coming. I can understand some of the dissatisfaction, and if somebody wanted to file a lawsuit based on some of the iPhone commercials that were promising Apple Intelligence, okay, maybe that would be legitimate. On the other hand, I still want to see a clear definition of what Apple Intelligence is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about this on everybody's show, that the components of Apple Intelligence have been in place, some of them have been in place for a long time. You know, you see the benefits of them when you search in your photos and we recognize your dog versus your girlfriend. You see all kind of aspects of this. We have Siri that functions depending on what your expectations are, and I won't go into my rant on that because we'll be here for another hour. But it's the degree to some of this stuff that, you know, that people take this and buy into it. And I mean, sometimes this is a terrible comparison. I'll do it anyway. But when I go to buy a new car, I look at the miles per gallon. Mm-hmm. I almost never get the actual miles per gallon. You know, I don't know if they test that on the salt flats with a tailwind or what,
yes.
But you never get that. And so everything needs to be taken, especially when any marketing department, Apple's or anyone else's, is involved. You've got to take it with a grain of salt or maybe a salt shaker.
I don't know. Like, I mean, class action lawsuits like this are, I always find kind of weird and pointless. So there's that. But I feel like Apple, that's kind of a homemade problem, because Apple did, I mean, people pay attention to advertisement. And yes, they will not believe everything. Like, will they believe that Siri works exactly like they shown and like perfectly gets everything, whatever? No, people know that's not the reality. But if you promise, and they did that, they heavily advertised the Siri angle, and Siri can now do contacts and all of that, and had advertisements out there. And people, I mean, I can understand that someone will say, well, I kind of expected that to be there, and that's like the phone that to have that, and they said it would have it, and now they're saying it won't, or it won't have it anytime soon. So it does taint a little bit the purchase. How much do we need a lawsuit for that? Probably not. Like, but I said it's a bit of a homemade problem. If Apple had just said, well, here are the things that we're showing in WWDC that are ready or ready enough to show, and they're coming the next year, and that's it, I think nobody would argue. But they did show stuff that clearly wasn't ready. They couldn't even show other than a video, but they heavily advertised and they heavily leaned on these features especially, because they knew that these were the ones that people were most interested in.
And I think if you're in following the tech news like we do, and we know about how technology operates and how software develops over a mm-hmm. period of time and improves over a time, we're in that kind of bubble where, okay, we get it. We understand why it's not going to deliver April mm-hmm. in April, all the things that it was promised. But yeah. Most folks who are looking at advertising aren't thinking of the nuances that we do with the process. Yes. So there is a sense that Apple's a little culpable in this. Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see how it all rolls out. I would imagine that the folks working in Siri are going to be under a lot of stress trying to get things up to speed as quickly as possible.
And we heard a rumor this week as well that it's not just that the thing that they thought they could get isn't working, so they need extra time. It sounds like they have to, and that is completely rumor territory, that they have to even go back to the drawing board, or at least are proposing to do that and completely start over. So that is more concerning.
It was a sense that they were trying to build it off a machine learning model, and mm-hmm. that isn't going to get them where they need to go. So they're going to have to look at essentially create more of a language learning model mm-hmm. Within their own system. So, and not just, and you can't pass that off to an external system without, because it doesn't have access to all the context that you have on phone or in cloud. Yeah. So that's one of the concerns. And it might happen faster if they scrap what they got and just build new from the ground up.
Yeah. I mean, that's the decision they have to make. Like, I mean, I was hoping they made a couple of years ago, but if we're now at the point, then that's the decision they have to make. Is it faster to fix it or change what they have to what they want? Or is it faster to just completely throw it away? The problem I see is, one, there's a lot of pressure on them from the markets. Like both, I think, us, but also the stock markets. And I mean, even the mainstream media is pushing Apple quite heavily right now on that and saying, oh, they're so behind and all of that. But I also, I mean, I don't know what your experience with Siri is, but I mean, context would be nice, but for now I would be happy if it did the things it should be doing in a reliable way. Like, I mean, it's like half of the time I set an alarm, it set a timer for something, and half of the time it gets the time wrong, or the alarm goes off and then I can't stop it. It just doesn't react and stuff like that. It's like, I use dictation quite a lot, and like half of the stuff is wrong. And I don't think it's just me. I hope at least it's not just me, but I've heard other people, including Jeff Gamet, complain about the same thing and saying it's simply like, yes, nice to have extra features and context and so on. That would be great. But how about we do the things we said 5 years ago should work already? That's the problem.
Patrice, I have to disagree a little bit that I have very few misfires with Siri.
Okay.
The things you just asked, you just mentioned. I think once in the past 2 weeks, I asked for a timer for 50 minutes and I got a timer for 15. Okay. Yeah. I I walk into my bedroom every night and tell, and I just said the S lady's name. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I triggered anybody. Sorry about that. But I tell her to turn on the lights, and mm-hmm. she turns on the lights. That's it. Not for me. Not sometimes.
I use her a lot, and I'm a big fan of Siri. But it's like, actually, the lights, most of the time she gets right. That's true. But like, there's a lot of other stuff where I'm like, even I tell her good night, and sometimes I have to say it three times before she actually does it, which is the simplest thing. Like, and it should just trigger a scene. So, and I have to tell her. So, I mean, there's been a case like, I think even this week, where people asked her, it was on Reddit, I think, people asked her what month it is. And she either said, I don't understand, or it's 2025. For tons of people. And that is, I mean, that's not even in the ballpark of an answer.
Okay, I'm going to mute my mic and so I'm not shouting at people and see what she says.
Yeah, let's try it. Hey Siri, what month is it?
Dead Air is great for podcasts.
It's awesome.
Okay, so what she said was it's Friday, March 21st, 2025. So did she exactly parse out the month? No, but I certainly got it out of her answer. Now, if that's a fail, then it's a fail.
I would still say that's a fail because you didn't ask for a full date. So I mean, it's definitely, I would say close enough that most people would be okay with it, but it's still not what you asked.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't use Siri for a lot of commands. I'm sorry, I said the S lady, or I call her Sheila.
Sheila.
I call her Sheila because it's the Australian accent version of the S lady. I don't use Sheila that often, but I don't have the misfires with her that other people have. Now, when you say, I want it to activate a scene, there's two steps in that process. Does Sheila know what you're talking about? That would be a problem if she didn't. Mm-hmm. And then there's connecting it to home and your home system or whatever system you have.
Yeah.
That's a second step. And that could be where the problem is, not with Sheila.
Could be.
And that's what...
Could be, but then she should tell you. The thing is, she sometimes says, I did it, and then she doesn't.
Yeah, I consider Sheila like a drunk cousin. They're kind of nice to have around, and occasionally they make a few mistakes. But the mistakes the cases where they're just fun to be around with outweigh the mistakes that it makes.
There's another show title, Sheila the Drunk Cousin.
You know, Marty, I think that's an interesting comparison. I'm sitting here trying to draw analogies to things where I see failures in my life. And so if I go to a drive-thru and say, you know, I want a cheeseburger and I pay for it, they hand me the bag, I drive away, and then I open it and find out I got a chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, okay, that's a miss, that's a fail. And as long as I'm not allergic to chicken or something, it's not a huge fail. But it's not quite right. And so how much forgiveness should we have for these things? Because we're technologists, we tend to think in digital terms, and it's either right or it's wrong. I think there needs to be a gray in there where your drunk cousin, you know, they might be fun to have around. They might not get it right all the time, but some of the time they do. And otherwise they're just entertaining.
To be honest, I am quite forgiving. Like if there is, I don't know, I have a TV show running in parallel, whatever, and it doesn't get it right. I say it because I don't want to say she, depends on your country. It's okay. Like I'm okay with that. I'm like, okay, it's like multiple people talking, different environment. Okay, fine. Like I'll repeat it. Even if it's the first time wrong, I'll repeat it. I'll rephrase it, whatever, try again. But after the third time, I start cursing. And my Siri gets a lot of, I said it again, Sheila gets a lot of cursing from me because at some point I'm like, okay, I get upset. I'm like, hey, like I told you to stop it and not even respond. Or the one from the bedroom is responding instead of the one I'm standing right in front of.
And so you have a system with your automated system where you give it specific directions and it doesn't follow directions.
Yes.
And then you respond to it like it's a human being that can understand directions.
Yes.
And expect a response from it.
Sometimes, yes. No,
you know, and Chuck, with
I've learned the commands. Yeah. Like, I know, and Chuck, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. That's the problem.
Yeah. Chuck, with the hamburger or cheeseburger, that person, Sheila, who's taking your order, is also taking orders of people in the line behind you and also getting bags thrown at her. And so is it an interface problem or is it a systems problem? It didn't work for you. You got a chicken sandwich instead of a cheeseburger.
That's true.
You're muted, Chuck.
Yeah, you muted yourself.
I have no idea how that happened. Which fits into your analogy perfectly of, was it the S lady that had the issue or was it home that had the issue? So there are a lot of different chains here in depending on what it is you're trying to interface with using this voice assistant. And the same is true with all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, that some things, if you are using IFT to, you know, control something and IFT fails, then you think it's the digital assistant that failed. And if the digital, you know, if I put something in the mail and to Marty and Marty doesn't get it, how does Marty know that I didn't fail or that the mail system didn't fail? That's the problem, that we don't know where the failure point
does,
is.
And does it matter for you? I mean, it's like it failed. You expected it to work. It failed.
That's true. That's true. But if I'm going to start blaming somebody, I think Marty would rather have me blame the USPS as opposed to Marty. And the USPS would probably prefer that I blame Marty.
Yes, of course. So. I mean, and if it happens once, you will probably be like, okay, it was a mistake. Fine. Okay. If it happens consistently and maybe with multiple delivery people, then you would probably blame the company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's exactly where I'm at. I'm like, if it's one failure, fine, okay. Circumstance happens. But if it's consistently happening all the time where I have to repeat things and do things over and over, or it does the wrong thing and tells you it did it, sends the message without reading it to you, stuff like that, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and the problem is Apple has a messaging issue with that because the three of us can talk about where the faults might be, mm-hmm. where the what went wrong and who to point the finger at or what part of the system isn't working. Person who looks at an advertisement and sees, I can find out when my mother's plane is coming in.
Yes.
And it doesn't work. It only has to doesn't work once for them before they become less forgiving. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, absolutely. To like spot on. Like that's the whole problem with that they're advertising something that they haven't even finished, let alone shipped, let alone will get. I mean, they said sometime in the next year, so we'll see.
If you can set your expectations a little bit lower, and I'm serious, I'm not being smart. If you can set your expectations a little bit lower, you're going to be a much happier person because they're going to be met more often. But if you have these expectations, I go back to my favorite example. If you're looking for the Enterprise computer on Star Trek, you're going to be massively disappointed. But, you know, because the S-Lady has yet to fire the photons for me.
Okay.
So, you know.
So you're saying basically I should have no expectations and that I can only be surprised. I'm not sure that's a world I want to live in.
No, I'm not going to go to no expectations, Patrice, but I am going to say that, you know, be a little bit forgiving. Listen, I think people in real life fail me more often than the S lady does.
Okay.
And we won't get into who or what capacity they fail me, but you know, the human factor has a much higher percentage of failure for me than the S lady does.
Okay, fair point. Yeah, but there
And the three of us, however, everything we do is perfect. We never make mistakes and we never fail, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Chuck is
There's
perfect.
another show title, Patrice.
What, we're all perfect?
The other thing I heard on this story is Apple has been softening their claims on their website. So they've
Yes.
made some changes in terms of, I don't want to call it disclaimers, but saying these features might not be present at the moment. I was going to go to the website and take a look at it,
Yeah, I
but the language has changed around it.
yeah, they had, I think they had said coming soon or something on them. They've changed it now, coming to something else, basically telling us, well, they're not there yet and they might come.
Coming, who knows hell when, you know,
Exactly. Someday,
who
maybe.
knows when.
Someday, maybe. Yeah.
Well, to protect themselves against additional lawsuits or additional issues, they have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's also just good practice to say, hey, we may have gotten a little too enthusiastic. Let's back it down.
Yeah, no, that part I'm totally okay with. If they realize it isn't working, it's not gonna ship as expected, like be open about it, be clear about it, say, okay, it's not coming. So I mean, yes, they're maybe also legally required to do it, but I think it's also just good practice to say, okay, can't do that. I mean, I do that with our customers all the time. Like sometimes stuff happens, we're like, okay, this feature, we thought we could do it, it looked easy. Now that we've like figured it out, we're like, that's really complicated and it's going to take us an extra couple of months. So, sorry. You have to be open about it and say, hey, sorry, yeah. Happens.
Yep.
Let's talk about something else. We have some new developments on the EU side. So, that's not super relevant or interesting for you. Well, it might actually be because it might trickle to the
Yes.
US as well. The European Commission has mandated that Apple has to provide iOS interoperability features for other, or they call it improvements for other companies. So this is part of the DMA. There's been a proceeding launched last fall into the interoperability between Apple devices with third-party devices. So like your iPhone with other watches, your non-Apple whatever, the Meta, what is it called? The Vision Pro thing. Blanking on it. What is it called?
With
The Meta Vision Pro, basically. What is it called? Quest.
it's called Oculus
No, the
Meta
Meta
Vision
Quest.
Meta 3
No, the
Meta
Meta
Quest, yeah.
Quest. Yeah, the Quest. That kind of thing. So the European Commission is basically asking that iPhone users will have, or they're saying iPhone users will have enhanced possibilities to receive push notifications, including pictures, very specific, on their non-Apple smartwatch and reply to those notifications. So something the Apple Watch, of course, can do, but with your, I don't know, Galaxy Watch or something, you couldn't. Pebble, maybe, I don't know, it might be one. Is that still around? I don't know. The iPhone users will also be able to pair their non-Apple connected device, such as headphones and smartwatches, more seamlessly and easily with the iPhone. I thought we had already gotten that one. Don't know. I thought Apple had already announced that that would be possible, but maybe they were negotiating. Who knows? Non-Apple devices such as virtual reality headsets will benefit from better and faster data connections with the iPhone. I don't know how that will work, but okay. And developers will be able to integrate alternative solutions to Apple's AirDrop and AirPlay services on the iPhone. As a result, iPhone users will be able to choose from different and innovative services to share files with other users and cast media content from their iPhones to TV. So that's what they wrote in their ruling, basically. I don't know, Marty, what are your thoughts on that one? Does it make sense? No? Something you want in the US as well?
It's, you know, here's a private company that has its own business, has its company proprietary secrets and the way it does things, and government coming in and saying, just open up all the doors, unlock the doors and open up all the windows. And I don't see that as quid pro quo with what other companies are expected to do. I went to the dark side and was playing with a Pixel and a Pixel Watch and could not get it to sync in any form or fashion effectively with my iPhone or with Limited. So, what's the equity in this in terms of what it is? Again, interesting to see Chuck's response on this. I don't know. Are they going to fight it legally? Are they going to say, okay, fine. Here's, let's make your phones vulnerable that we sell in Europe to all sorts of things. And everything we promise about privacy works everywhere but phones that are sold or used in the EU.
Chuck, your thoughts.
I've
Do
got
we
to go
get
to
a
the
Chuck
kitchen.
soapbox or
Well,
not?
I'm on my way to the kitchen because the EU just ordered Kentucky Fried Chicken to tell me what the 11 secret herbs and spices are, and I'm going to go make lunch. Look, I'm with Marty. I mean, this is not always this inequitable. They say in the West, when different and innovative services. So, excuse me, but who's developing those different and innovative services? Apple's been the one that does it. Why are they obligated to open it up to other companies? If you want to complain about Marty, in the case of your watch, I'd love to know what the I don't know because I've not had another watch other than my Apple Watch. I don't know what the mechanism is, whether it's Bluetooth or some other proprietary connection. But to me, that I would think that that falls on the watch manufacturer to create the watch app on the iPhone so that it connects properly. And if you want to complain about Apple's developer kit, okay, maybe. That you would get into a lot of details there. You're going to be able to send me photos. From your my non-Apple Watch. Oh, good. Photos have been a known carrier of nasty little surprises
Oh,
sometimes on
yes.
the back end. But now I'm going to be able to receive those nasty little surprises. Thank you, EU. I appreciate it. I just there's so many things wrong with this insistence that everything has to operate with everything else. And you notice I haven't even mentioned Meta because that's been the big thing I've been hearing about everywhere else. That by opening up, especially the headset situation, how much else gets opened up to Meta? And where does the
Where's the limit?
privacy start or end?
No, I'm with you on this one. I mean, this is a very European approach to things. I mean, it's not entirely true because in the US, like I know, for example, in the healthcare sector, there's like a lot of push to be interoperable. And that's kind of a standard at this point. But it's very EU to say, hey, everything should work with everything. They might have some points here or there, but I don't agree with the approach.
We're learning in the US right now what government overreach is all about.
That's true. That is true. No, it's like the way it's I mean the push notification thing, no, that is a problem. I mean, I know from people like sometimes they want to use an alternative to the Apple Watch and they really can't. And the problem is not that the manufacturer can't provide a app. The problem is that the app doesn't have access to the same content. Like on my Apple Watch, I can see notifications from any app on my iPhone. If I have a third-party watch, I cannot because the APIs are not there to do that. So I slight point here, I'm like, okay, I get it. Yes, there's I don't think this is a big security problem. Privacy maybe, but it's I would at the end of the day say that's the decision of the user. If the user wants to do that, okay. It's their data at the end is I mean they have the data on their phone. So hopefully you trust the manufacturer of the watch. Let's put it this way.
Yeah, but it feels like the EU saying to Apple, okay, now since the Apple Watch can do all these functionalities, you should make yourself available to do all these functionalities on a
Somewhere else.
competitor's product.
And that's where my problem is with this. Apple innovated here. Apple created things. Apple implemented all of them. And then the EU says, well, fun. Now that you've invented that, some give it to everybody else. Let everybody else do the same thing. And that I don't understand.
If you don't mind, I want to read Apple's responses quoted in this article because I think this is terrific. Today's decision wraps us in red tape, slowing down Apple's ability to innovate for users in Europe and forcing us to give away our new features for free to companies who don't have to play by the same rules. It's bad for our products and for our European users. We will continue to work with the European Commission to help them understand our concerns on behalf of our users.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Answer. Yes. I mean,
brilliant answer. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about slowing down, okay, that's a little bit of an Apple approach, but no. It's, I mean, why should Apple create any innovation if they basically have to give it away afterwards? I could just say, well, then let's just leave it. Or not ship it, I mean, which they've been doing, not ship it in the EU and say, well, we would have to give it away. We're not doing that.
So let's, can you try and answer that question? Why would the EU expect them to do this?
You mean in a sense of why would the EU think Apple will do it? Or in a sense of why would the EU want Apple to do that?
The latter.
Okay. I mean, there is some risk in an iPhone user being locked into a platform. That is true. We know that. We know that from our own experience. Sometimes there is cool things on other platforms you can't do or use because it's not available on the iPhone and Apple just doesn't allow it. We've had that, I mean, I don't know, Mac versus iPhone sometimes, where like the Mac can do certain things that you can't do on an iPhone or an iPad. So it does exist. And I think that's their concern, that Apple might be so powerful that they, if they're not forced to, they will simply keep everything to themselves. I don't agree with that, but that's probably their thinking. It's also probably something political. I mean, you know, politics.
So, Patrice, 2 points on that. First of all, first, let's back up for a second. We've already seen this negatively impact European users.
Yes.
Because now they've turned off encryption for iCloud. So
in the UK, yes.
Or in the UK, excuse me.
Yeah,
me,
but it has happened, yes.
So it has happened. Users are being impacted. Mm-hmm. Second, there is this attitude that every feature has to be available to everybody under all circumstances. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, if I make other choices, even in consumer electronics, you know, if I choose A, I may not be able to get B, or not easily, or I may have to pay more, you know, as from a feature standpoint. And so just the idea that everybody has to have access to it all the time, is all access all the time for everyone, is just not realistic, or you will have no innovation because there will be no reward for innovating. The third thing is, to Marty's question, and I have not followed the EU stuff from this kind of through this lens, but are they setting their bar here but really we're willing to compromise down here, but from a negotiating standpoint, we're setting it here and then we have
probably
a fallback.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
that would be my third interpretation.
Yeah, at the end of the day, there is some degree of politics involved here. So for sure, that's gone. I mean, we've seen this with the previous, like with the DMA implementation, where it's like the bar was very high, and then they negotiated with Apple, and they came down to a level where we said, okay, it's okay. I mean, don't know how effective it was at the end. It's like I've heard that Firefox has doubled their market share, for example, in the EU. So good for them. But I'm not sure in the grand scheme of things it matters. I mean, the EU is not saying that every company in the EU has to do stuff like this. Like, if you're a smaller company, if you don't have a big market share, they don't care. They're like, as long as there's enough players in the field and everybody can do things, and yes, you can do different things than someone else, and there's innovation in that, fine. They only get involved when we get to a point where there is a one or two or three big players, where there is a risk that the smaller players cannot play in an even field. Like, Imagine you have a really cool idea for a smartwatch, like better than the Apple Watch. You have the best idea. You find someone to manufacture it. But your problem now is you cannot really compete with the Apple Watch because the integration that the Apple Watch has is bar none. And since Apple is the biggest player in the market, now it's really, really difficult for you to convince other users to switch because they have an iPhone. They will not switch the phone to, I don't know, Android just for your watch. I understand that viewpoint. Is that realistic? Not so sure, but that's the viewpoint to say, hey, we want to, if you're big enough that you might control the market in that way, we want to ensure that someone else could have a good idea and deliver it. And not, it gets hard. I mean, try to convince your parents or your like siblings or whatever, your friends, to switch from one iPhone to another. And you know how hard it is. And now try to convince them to switch to a completely different phone where your Apple Watch would work. I think that you would find that pretty much impossible. And that's the problem. So there has to be some limit or some restrictions or some way where you say, okay, now we're getting into lock-in territory. But I don't think Apple has reached that point in Europe, especially in Europe. In the US, they might actually be closer. In Europe, Apple is not as big as in the US.
And that's, Patrice, you just said it, that you might. Oh, you might get too big, so therefore we're going to slap you down now.
No. They're big. Apple is definitely big enough for that. Smaller companies are not. And there is in a DMA and in the EU, there is certain rules how big a player has to be in a market for even to be considered. And there's only a like very select group. It's basically the big names you know. Apple, Google, Microsoft, Meta. I think that's about it. Only those have been even being considered in this all. They're big enough. I mean, they have a pretty healthy amount of power.
But is there sufficient evidence to say that they are in, okay, so they're big enough, but are they doing it?
But it's not about, are they doing it? Just, I mean, as I said, put yourself, barriers to entry, thank you, Bob Peach. Put yourself into that position. As I said, you have the coolest watch possible. Apple isn't doing anything. They're literally just doing their thing. They're not saying, oh, we're going to now work against Chuck's awesome watch. No, they're just doing their thing. But in doing so, because they're so big and because they're so dominant, because they have an advantage in their own stuff, which is natural, I would say, you have no chance. That's the problem. And that's if they're so big that they're dominating the market, then is at least something to look at. It doesn't mean that you should do something, that they have to do something, but they should look at and maybe decide, is there maybe a possibility to open up something so that you can have your watch? Right?
Okay, so I listen to way too many business podcasts, I guess, because I hear stories all the time, and I'm happy to share some of the podcast names with you if you want, but I hear stories all the time about they interview founders and entrepreneurs who got started, you know, out of their basement or their bedroom or their garage, and they took on a market that was just insane. Nobody in their right mind would try to introduce a new soda or a new drink or a new this or a new that. Yeah. But somebody had a vision. Mm-hmm. And they did, and now I forgive me if I get it wrong, but Poppy, I think it's Poppy, was one of those that, you know, they came out, they tried something brand new, they started selling their drink at state fairs, mm-hmm. and they were just acquired by Pepsi for something, a number with a B in it, you know, and so this, it can still happen, and especially in today's world where your publicity and your communication is limited only by your imagination, because you can reach, as long as you can get someone's attention, you can give them all the information that you could not X number of years ago because you had to take out a TV commercial or a magazine ad or a newspaper ad or something. Yeah. Now you can tell everybody anything you want about your product.
You can, but I'm going to ask you now, how many alternative watches that people buy, do you know?
I'm sorry, say it again.
How many alternative watch products that for the iPhone, do you know? That
How many
people
people
actually
have
buy.
built?
That actually buy and that
Exactly.
are successful in the market.
Right, but how many of them have
Zero.
offered something? No, wait, no. But how many of them have offered something compelling enough to make someone want to
Oh,
purchase them?
no, there's, I mean, as I said, Pebble was one of the even very early ones. Samsung does actually pretty nice smartwatches. Like people, I know plenty, I know people have switched, but like people like us have switched to Android just because of the Apple Watch. Sorry, because of sorry, Samsung Watch. Like
Right.
it happened, but those are like rare exceptions where that happened. Most people don't do it because they can't.
And same
No, they
way I
can't.
can't, I mean, I have a Pixel or had a Pixel watch and was thinking of buying a Samsung watch with a device that I had and gave up on it because I knew that watch was only going to be tied to that product if I wanted to get full functionality out of it.
Yes.
So, for me, where's the equity that
And
they're
you
pointing at Apple and saying, open up Apple so the
Yes.
Samsung watch can do everything Apple can do,
It should go the other
but
way.
not that, yeah, it should go the other way.
Yes, I fully agree.
If they're going to do that, yeah, I don't think it should happen at all, but,
Yes. No, it said I kind of also disagree with what's going to happen here, but
Yeah, and Bob Beach just about the acquisition by Pepsi, thus eliminating competition. Bob, you're absolutely right,
Sure.
except for one little feature. Poppy didn't have to sell. They could have said, you know what, we want to continue on. And there's a tech example, and right now I'm blanking on it completely, about a company that someone else wanted to buy, and they said, no, we're going to go our own way, and they went on and 10x'd the value of the company. Whereas they could have sold out and cashed out early and, gone to Aruba, but they decided, no, we want to stay in the game, and they did.
There's a bunch of companies like that. Actually, a lot of
Yeah.
them actually went through that.
Yeah. So it just depends on what your motivation is here.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Bob. I don't know about what the one little feature. I'm not sure what
do
the
we
little
have
feature
some?
was. Oh, the feature, money. Yes, I know what you're talking about. The fact that they did not have to sell. They chose to sell because somebody threw enough money at them, but they didn't have to. There was no gun to their head.
Yeah, I mean that is definitely true, and I mean there's also like the competition authorities didn't have to approve it, so same thing. Like that's why we have them. If they approve it, if they think it's okay, or they were corrupt. Who knows? But usually, it's I believe in the good of people, and I think they didn't see a problem with it. Like in the
You know what,
drinks
Patrice?
market, there's a lot of competition still, so it should be fine.
Yeah. But it's funny. You just said you believe in the good of people. I believe in the good of the market. I believe the market will, if you make a good enough product and you can't just sit there and say, oh, I've got it, and then hope people will come to your door. If you are willing to work at it, I firmly believe that anybody can take on pretty much anybody else and be successful.
Yes, it is possible. There have been examples where it has happened. It's also super rare. Like, I mean, even Apple, the success of the iPhone, honestly, I think was only possible because they had the Mac before, because they had the iPod before, and they had a healthy business. They had enough money to develop even iPhone to do that. And then, like, make it work against very strong competition. I mean, they did, right? I mean, the biggest competition was BlackBerry, and look where they are now. Well, one of the biggest, probably the other one was probably Nokia. Same story. So it is, yes, it is possible. It's just, it gets harder if there's no limits on what the companies can do. And I think that's also something we should keep in mind. If you have a monopoly and someone abuses it, then there should, I mean, not that's not the case here, to be clear. There has to be limits.
By the way, the Pebble is coming back. Did you see that?
No, didn't see that.
Yeah, it's I'm not joking. It is coming back. somebody picked up the name and the molds and everything, and they're bringing it back
Wow.
as maybe a sort of an enhanced pebble. So if I can find an article, I'll throw it in the I'll throw it in the chat.
Wow, that's crazy. All right. Since we're talking about the chat, we should talk about that real quick and then talk about some cool things. So, we have a really cool live stream and live chat system. And all you have to do to participate is go to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we are recording. So that is every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show. Whatever that is in your time zone, especially right now with daylight savings, it's all kind of wonky. We get that twice a year because the US switches earlier than Europe does. One of the other things that are different, one of many other things. And there's the live stream on the left and the chat on the right. And you can just start typing and that's it. It generates really funny names. I don't have a good example today because I didn't see anybody and it reloaded a couple of times for me. But usually it generates a really, I don't know, Vigilant Nightingale, I think was one I just remembered. It generates funny names. You can just change it. Click on the purple button up top, change name, and you get it. But we usually, right now the website is down, but usually we have also a transcript. I'll save the chat from today, don't worry. And head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then in the calendar that pops up, you select today's date, which is March 21st, 2025. And if you do that, you will see everything that we talked about on this very show today. And with that, let's talk about some cool things. Who has the first one? Is your cool thing the Pebble watch? No, I hope not.
No. I threw that in
Thank
informationally.
you.
I'll throw this one in, Patrice. This is I don't usually do media picks, but I want to pick the movie The Gorge that's on Apple TV Plus. And unfortunately, I really don't want to say too much about it because then I'm afraid I will spoil a lot of it. So go watch the trailer. The trailer is really good for giving you a feel for some of it. What I will say about this is I was kind of surprised by the time I got to the end because it contains two components of things that usually, if you told me that either one or both were in the description, I would never watch. And happily, I didn't read enough about this or anything to steer me away from this. And I love this movie. So it is well worth your time, I think, because it is not. It takes you places where you really didn't quite expect to go. It has a nice resolution to it. So I don't think there's going to be necessarily a sequel anytime soon. But yeah, I have so many good things to say about this movie that I can't say because I will spoil it for you. So
No
just go
spoilers.
if you have Apple TV Plus and give it a try.
Yeah, Apple TV Plus was always worth it. It's one of those services where it's like good content. Cool thing. I'll add it to my list. I've heard some people talk about that. I think it's isn't
It's
like if there's like a
Miles
gorge in
Teller.
between and they kind of get closer to each other, two sides.
Yeah, Miles Teller and Anya Taylor-Joy
And
are the
Sigourney
two
Weaver.
leads, and Sigourney Weaver. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, cool thing. Marty, what's your cool thing today?
Well, my cool thing evolved out of the fact that I have to travel next week to Disney World or Disneyland. I forget which one's
Ooh.
in Florida, but I've got to go to Orlando.
Disney World, I think. Yes.
Yeah. And I plan to take some equipment with me. And last night on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg, had a chance before the show and after the show to chat with Guy Searle. And I said, you know, I love this microphone I'm using. It's a Shure MV7 Plus, but it's heavy. It's like 2.5, 2¾ pounds. And I would just like something that's good, solid, will work, and is a bit lighter. And what was suggested was the Audio-Technica ATR 2100X, and so that's my pick for the week, and or cool stuff. I will take it with me and try it out. I mean, everybody kind of agreed this was a great sounding microphone and not very expensive in terms of how microphones go. And I think my dog was barking a lot because it's supposed to be here some right when we're recording. So the
Maybe it arrived.
Amazon has probably delivered it, and the cameras were triggering when I was on the show. So I will be using that next week, maybe with some other portable stuff that I've that could have been cool stuff to talk about. But maybe if I'm on next week, I'll talk about it while I'm using it. So.
Very
So,
cool.
Marty, your mic is either there or you are under attack, one of the two.
No. Half the time, anything coming into my driveway is DoorDash, and the other half the time, it's Amazon. So, yeah, it's good life.
Sounds good.
Very cool. I'm definitely going to check that out. There's always room for another microphone. Unless you're Guy Searle, right? He has no room. None
Needs to buy a new
left.
house if he gets another microphone.
Another, whatever. Warehouse of some sort. So my cool thing is something that I know Chuck will not be able to experience, but I know Marty will be. It's the Apple Immersive Metallica video. Really cool. Yes, I'm late to the party. I finally got around to watching it last night because I just didn't have time at all. And I was like sitting on my couch and I was like, wow. And I'm not a fan of Metallica. They're probably good musicians. It's not my music. Like, okay. But one, the production value of that concert, and we only got, I think, three songs. But like the way the whole thing, like it's, I think it was a recording in Mexico City. The production value of that concert with like those big towers with the lights and displays on them, and like the stage layout and all of that. That alone is crazy. The immersive part was really cool. You got to see even the cameras if you pay attention. For me, I'm looking a lot of the tank as well. Like, I'm very interested in how they did that. And you see the cameras, and they had flying immersive cameras. They had like some stationary, they had some flying, they had some moving around and whatever. So that, I mean, there was, I don't know how many cameras they had, but a lot of them. So that was actually
14, 14,
wow.
14 cameras. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So 14 immersive cameras, so we get 14 different angles on the thing. And it was a really interesting story. So it's not just a concert. It's not just music. They had a story to tell. Like every band member got like a little segment of like something about them and how they see things. And then they would have another song. So that was really impressive, and I've really thought about, I think this might be the future of concerts, kind of, because it was it you really felt like you were on stage with them, and that was, I didn't expect, to be honest. And it was, as I said, the production of the whole like immersive video was top notch, probably the best quality we've seen so far, and there have been some really good ones.
Yeah, I think it's a great proof of concept that we could they you know bands could be doing concerts this way,
Yes.
and that could be streamable merchandise for them
Oh, yeah.
and for 3D headsets. And but the real test is if this will eventually force Chuck to buy a Vision Pro headset,
So true.
because he's been. Since this concert came out, he's been getting it from all sides about seeing the Metallica concert.
Yes. Yeah, and Roman,
I
we
get, I
know
get.
Chuck is a big fan of Metallica, so.
Yeah, I am a Metallica fan. Yeah, and I, yes, I've gotten text messages from people. You got to see this. You got to go get a Vision Pro. And it's like, okay, thank you. Just
Would you
pile
care
on
to
with the rest of them.
Would you care to share your phone number so you can get more text messages?
No, I have it. I can send more.
Thank you for offering, Marty.
Yeah, we spoke about maybe you'll go to the demo, because apparently
yes.
what you've heard, Chuck, it's a piece of it's included in the demo now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, just ask the guys, please just let me watch the Metallica video.
Oh, they will be.
I'll take my 30 minutes and 25 of it will be Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to get the full, you've got to get the whole experience.
Yeah.
And the idea again is that I think this is, I wouldn't dream of going to a concert now. It would be kind of too like that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be too crazy for me.
Yes, same.
But just as good being there with the cameras mm-hmm. and with the placement and the spatial sense of it, and probably a better seat than I'll ever be able to afford anyways. So.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And what I also liked is that they were able to kind of get the enthusiasm and the fun that the audience was having across as well. Like, I mean, literally they were interacting with the cameras and were having fun and like were interacting with the band all of that. And it came across to me. So yeah, go watch it, Chuck. Buy a Vision Pro or just go to the store and do the demo.
Thank you.
If he doesn't get to see the whole thing, we'll make sure he gets opportunity at MacStock to look at it.
Yeah, you should. Definitely.
And I'm sure somebody will be videotaping me as I watch it. That would just...
Yes.
Cause,
as they should.
Yeah, because
with your spike leather collar and your spike leather collar and your cutoff t-shirt.
Yeah. All black.
Black t-shirt. And doing air guitar while you're watching.
Black nail polish, all of that.
Wow. Okay. Please, no Photoshop artists out there can start doing it. No, do not do that.
You know, the Mohawk. No.
I think that's a different kind of band.
Okay, I think so, yeah. I was just thinking what would work this time. Yeah, no, it's sad. I'm going to watch it again. I don't care about the music. I'm still going to watch it again. Like it was
really I think you have to cool. I think you do have to watch it, because I watched for the camera stuff mm-hmm. and probably missed a lot of the context of what the concert experience was, so go back and I need to watch it a second time or more to be able to get a sense of the concert experience. My son watched it for the concert experience mm-hmm. and he was like blown away by it. But
that's cool. Bob Beach is asking, $3,500 for the Vision Pro. How many real life Metallica gigs is that? It's probably about three. I mean,
no. If you go to buy a good seat, if you go to buy a really good seat, you're probably talking more than that.
That's true. That is true. I mean, on the other hand, you get the full concert and not just three songs. So, anyway, I think we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll start with our special guest, Marty, again. Where can people find out more about what you're doing?
The thing that I have most investment in right now is the Vision Profiles podcast and video cast that we do Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time in the U.S., but you can pick it up on YouTube. You can pick it up on any of the other podcast servers. I do a few podcasts. Chuck interviewed me on it, and that just came out yesterday on Mac Voices. Yeah. But I do a few podcasts, and you can find them all at the podtalk.net. Connect with me directly at Gentius at Blue Sky or Gentius at
Mastodon.social.
I forgot.
Like definitely Vision Profiles is a really good show. It's like the other show where we tell Chuck that he should buy a Vision Pro. So
yeah.
I really enjoy it every week. So good shows. Chuck, what about you? Soon at the Apple Store, buying a Vision Pro.
Yeah, other than that, you can find me over at macvoices.com. As Marty said, he was a guest for yesterday's show. Mm-hmm. The second half of that publishes today as we record this. But we have a lot of stuff going on right now. some of the Mac Voices Live discussions have been terrific, and you can join in the chat room on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV with Marty, Patrice when she stays up late or gets up early, and a lot of the other people you see here on the Mac Show. And on all the social medias, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Very Thanks, cool. Patrice, as always.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm looking forward to the second part. The first part was actually pretty cool. I already listened to it. Yeah, me, you can find also almost every week here on the Big Show and on the Mac Show. So we recorded one yesterday, and it was also a lot of fun with Tom and with Jeff. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, projects, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com, takes you there. And with Jeff Gamet, I have a podcast called Retro Rewatch. I like to show the mug on the video so you can see that. We have a really cool orange mug that I just love. The logo from Jeff is just great. We rewatch Stargate SG-1 right now. And the next episode, we're in season 2. And the next episode should be out briefly. I've already edited it. I just have to hit the publish button and then it should be out. And if I could remember what I had edited, then I would tell you which one it was. It's like it was last night. I've already forgotten. It's like I think it's Secrets this time. Yeah, it's Secrets. So really cool episode. A lot of really interesting secrets get revealed. So go listen to that. It will be out briefly. Shortly. And yeah, with that, thank you so much for listening, everybody. And remember to watch us next week, Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. See you then. Bye-bye.